Thanks, Kane. Wonderful. Hey, you look great this morning. Do I look great? Thank you, six of you. That was lovely. I appreciate it. How good to see you. God is so good, isn't he? I hope you've had a great week. I hope that you haven't been so blessed during the week that you didn't need to call on God and pray. You know, when I pray for you, I pray, Lord, bless these people, but don't bless them so much that they're not looking to you. Their hearts aren't for you. So sometimes when things come into our lives which don't seem like a blessing, in fact they are, because God has a purpose. He knows everything that happens to you, doesn't he? How good is our God? Well, let me just add to those announcements this morning. Later this year, we couldn't have it last year because of COVID, but we every year do what's called a Night of Nations, and we set the auditorium up here. We have food stations literally going right around, and there's marvellous food. We are a blessed church. We have people from so many different nations here who are great cooks as well. And so it's a marvellous night, and you can look forward to that. It's going to be a special night and a fun night. So couldn't have it last year. That was disappointing. We're going to have it this year. We got a date in mind, Cheryl, did we say? August, was it? Okay. So listen, don't take your holidays in August. Plan to be here. Or if you take your holidays, still plan to be here and be a part of that. Let's turn to the Word this morning. I suppose it's no revelation to you that Christianity has been under attack since its inception. Right from the start, you know that the disciples, the apostles, were persecuted. Paul, who became an apostle, had been Saul. He persecuted the Christians. Some went to death because of that. In the first 300 years of Christianity, there were many, many trials for Christians. And then Constantine in 310 AD, the Roman emperor, legalized the church, built temples for it, appointed the priests. And once again, that was an attack on Christianity, because before that, people had to be serious about being Christians. You didn't choose to be a Christian easily, because very likely you were going to die if that happened. You'd end up in the Colosseum, fed to the lions, or attacked by whatever. So it was a challenging thing, and Christianity has endured for those 2,000 years. But we come to a day today. I originally thought, when I was an early Christian, I looked at what was the enemy of Christianity, and I thought, well, possibly communism was the enemy of Christianity, because at that stage, and I'm going back quite a number of years, but communism, you know, there was the Cold War on, there was issues that they were in conflict with the major countries in the world. And then I thought, well, if it's not communism that moved on, it must be Islam. The Muslims are the enemies of Christians. And then I realised that's not true either. And then I thought socialism is the enemy of Christianity. And I am an anti-socialist. I need to tell you that. I think socialism is opposed to Christianity. I think it tries to do what we're supposed to do, and it's about control, and so I'm not in favour of socialism. But let me tell you what I have arrived at now, after all these years, about what is against us in Christianity. To do that, let me just lay a little bit of a track. It's almost weekly that you go onto social media and you find that some Christian artist is now renouncing their faith and saying, I don't believe in Christianity anymore. Christ is not the only way to be saved. And I'm turning my back on it. And I'm thinking, what a sad thing that is. They've known Jesus. They've experienced him. They've involved themselves for him. They preach the word. And now they're against what Jesus is doing. They're against Christianity. They've turned away from that. And how sad that is. But what we have today is happening. It's called deconstruction. And people are trying to take apart Christianity, trying to take apart the faith, questioning everything. Then we also have what's called progressive Christianity, where people also are questioning things and saying, well, how can Christianity be the only way? And so those are the challenges, I believe, that are facing the church and Christianity today. But the interesting thing is, I see that God is rising up. And so things are going to change with that. People take the Bible and they begin to question it. And once you start questioning the Bible, where do you stop? Which pages do you leave in and which pages do you tear out? I once, and this is going back a few years, but one of the denominations in Australia was saying the miracles that Jesus did weren't really miracles. They were natural happenings. And I thought, well, once you start taking the miracles out of the Bible that are there, what do you believe? How can you have a faith in something, and I believe in the Bible totally, if I start taking things out of it? There are, we won't go onto this track today, but there's what's called the truth in tension. It's where one thing will be said. Jesus said, unless you give up your family and follow me, you can't be my disciple. And then he says, someone who doesn't care for his family is worse than an infidel. Well, how do you marry those two thoughts? Well, that's why we need the instruction of the Holy Spirit to be able to work through those things to know what God wants to do. Is this coming through all right, sweetheart? Jen, this sounds okay? Okay, just a bit funny to me, that's all. But never mind, don't worry about me. I don't have to listen to it. So I see what's happening today as like an inner cancer in Christianity. People attacking it from the inside. And that's why we need to know what we believe and stand up for what we believe. You can't just pull something apart. But here's the thought is, the trouble is the people who are pulling it apart are using a natural mindset to do that. And the things of the Spirit are discerned by the Spirit, not by the natural mindset. That's why people can't accept a lot of the things that happen in the Bible, the miracles, the other occurrences. They can't accept salvation because they say, well, I can't see how that would work. My mind just doesn't absorb that or allow it to be there. So that's the interesting thing. The problem, trying to understand the spiritual through non-spiritual or natural eyes. Let me just take this thought with you now. I guess you've probably seen films and books, science fiction, where they talk about the alternate reality. And they say you can pass from one reality to another through a portal. And there are some good scientific stuff out there if you like that kind of thing. I like some of it, not all of it. Where they say, well, you just get to the portal and you can go to another planet, you can go to another time, you can go to an alternate world in which exists. But I want to tell you something. There is an alternate world, and it does exist. It's a spiritual world. And that's what I want to continue from where I did 2 weeks ago, talking about the real spiritual world. And so I want to put up a diagram for you this morning that we put... Start in the middle there, which is what we call the natural or the third dimension. It's the 3D world we live in. Length, breadth, height, width, all that sort of thing. So the third dimension. But that's contained by the fourth dimension, which is time. In other words, the third dimension is subject to time. So here we have a three-dimensional building. Come back in 10,000 years, and I doubt very much there'll be anything left. So time is the greater dimension in that case, and this building will begin to disintegrate and destroy. And then the fifth dimension, and I'm just calling, I've named them these. There may be other ways to describe them, there may be better ways to look at them, but I just keep it simple. The fifth dimension, which is the spiritual or the supernatural, as opposed to the natural. And that contains the other dimensions. And so if we talk about an alternate reality, the world we're in, this natural world, is contained by the spiritual world and it coexists at the same time. In other words, the spiritual world is right here. Where do you think heaven is? Do you think heaven's up there? I mean, often we say, you know, go to heaven, pointing that way. Well, if heaven's up there, then for people who live on the other side of the world, heaven is down there. Or vice versa. So you can't point to heaven and say, it's out there, it's east, it's west, it's up there, it's north. It's not. It's around us. Heaven is around us. Where does God live? In heaven, we know that. But where is God? Is he out in space somewhere? Is the rover that's landed on Mars going to find some evidence of heaven up there, some other life? No, it is not. So we've got to realise that we are surrounded by the spiritual dimension. Now that's important because when we come to our faith or when we come to operate as Christianity, in Christianity or as Christians, we're moving in a spiritual dimension. But because we're of a Western mindset,
We live in this, what I can see, what I can feel, touch, taste, smell, instead of realizing there's something greater, there's a greater dimension, and the portal to the greater dimension is Jesus Christ. Once we receive him as Savior, the dimension of the spiritual is open to us. Our spirit is made alive. We're joined to the spiritual dimension. And if we focus on the natural dimension, we miss out on the best, which is the spiritual dimension, because it contains the natural dimension. You limit yourself. You understand what I'm saying this morning? So when we're looking at these dimensions and when we're considering the spiritual, Jesus said in John 6:63, "The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And you say, okay, well, Jesus speaks spirit. That's Jesus. But you speak spirit. In, I think, Proverbs 18:21, it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." How can that be? If all this is words, hot air coming out and vibrations per second, how can that be death and life? Because the words you speak are spirit. So when you pray, I will pray for you before you go this morning, and it may be recorded, so it's, you know, it's kept. But the point being is, once you've heard my prayer, it's gone, as far as you're concerned, in your ears. But I want to tell you, it's not lost, because it's in the spiritual dimension. And anything in the spiritual dimension never disappears. That's why the Bible says all the idle words we uttered are going to be, they're up there and they've been recorded in heaven, which is round about us, not up there, round about us. So what you need to recognize is what you're speaking is spirit. It's coming out of your spirit through your mouth in a natural form, but into a spiritual world. And so when you speak, when you pray, you are touching from the third and fourth dimension into the fifth dimension, into the spiritual or the supernatural realm. And that's important, because sometimes we pray and we think it's only going that far. It's not going out there. Right. And you've got to realize that when you pray and when you're mentioning these words, and you remember I said death and life are in the power of the tongue. I always used to quote that verse, life and death are in the power of the tongue. And then I read it one day, I thought, oh, I've got it the wrong way around. It actually says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Yeah. So you can speak death over yourself, you can speak death over other people, or you can speak life over yourself and life over other people. You see, there's a great power in your tongue. It's a spirit that is being released from you, from your spirit, into the spiritual. And the spiritual, of course, contains the other dimensions. So it is the more powerful of all the dimensions. And so it's very important for you to be spiritual people. You need to set your heart on God. You need to let the Spirit, you know, work through you into relationship with God. And I'm going to teach you how to do that in a moment. I'll teach you how to do it in a greater connection, that we can do that. In 1 Corinthians 6:16 and 17, and we have that on the board, verse 15. I'll start in verse 15. It says, "Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together." So we have Jesus, the supreme creator, the supreme power, the supreme authority. And so when we come to him, we're touching the Almighty. I think sometimes we lose sight of that when we pray in Jesus' name. It's sort of like an add-on. But it's we've been given such authority, such a place of revelation and power, if only we walk in it. And I think we lose that because we focus on the natural. It's what we can see. We look at a sickness and say, well, that's terrible. Now, Jesus, can you just heal them, please? Instead of getting to grips with it and saying, I have authority. I'm not putting up with this. I'm fighting this. And I'm going to determine that it shall not lay hold of that. We're in a fight. We've got a war, a good warfare. We can't just drift along in life and say, well, let circumstances come, whatever may. No. We've got to live in a world of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 16, let's go there. We started in Colossians 1:15. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6:16. Because we need to understand something here. Don't you realise that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? For the scripture says, the two are united into one. But the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Saviour, you are one spirit with God. Can you see the power in that? The awesomeness of that? You are one spirit with God. I don't normally do this, but I want you to say this morning. I am one spirit with God. I am one spirit with God. That is a most astounding thing. And it's scripture. It's not something I'm making up. This is not some little theory or doctrine I want to throw at you. I'm taking you to scripture to show where it is. So let's just move on for a moment. And let me say this. Jesus made the spiritual world a reality. Before that, it had been a religious world. The word religion comes from a Latin word meaning to bind. And so people who live in a religious world are bound by rules and regulations. They're bound by the red tape of existence, of the natural world. But Jesus came to deal with that, and he did. And he said, these things are not how you should live. Not the Ten Commandments, but by in the Spirit of God, as we are led of the Spirit, then we don't disobey God and we don't break those things he doesn't want us to do, and we do the things he wants us to do. And so religion has a great power in it to bind people. Spiritual life is freeing, not to liberty that we can just do anything we please, but to a life in Jesus Christ where we seek to please him. So let me come back to progressive Christianity, or the deconstruction of Christianity. Because it's, as I said before, it's limited to the mental ability of a person. And no human mind can understand the things of the spiritual world without God's revelation. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And so to those who want to deconstruct Christianity, to those who want progressive Christianity, I point to that verse and say, you need to get a grip. You've got to come from a spiritual aspect to deal with spiritual things. You can't look at the spiritual life with a natural mind. You mess yourself up. And that's what's happening. These people are messing themselves up and they're turning their back on Christianity. And you don't want to let that happen. Don't get caught in it. I want to be careful what I say. There's a guy named Richard Rohr. Have anybody heard of Richard Rohr? Mate, get away from it. He has messed up. And he has messed up friends of mine who started listening to him. He really doesn't believe in what's true. And if that upsets you, I'm happy, because it'll make you stirred to do something about it, find out the truth. He's off the track. And the reason I bring his name up, and I don't like to name people like that, is because he's causing people to become confused in their faith, and they're letting go of their faith. See, the thing about faith is you can't explain it in a natural sense. Faith has to come from the spiritual. So we once you start taking apart those things, where will your life go? What will happen to your Christianity? You'll start to try and reason it out with your mind. You can't. Honestly, Christianity is an amazing, amazing thing, but you cannot reason it out with a natural mind. There are things you have to accept in that. And you say, well, that's blind acceptance or blind obedience. Well, in some areas it is. But it's, how did you receive Jesus Christ? By the natural mind? If that was the case, you weren't saved. You have to receive Jesus by faith and believe that he works in your heart and delivers you from sin so that you might have a relationship with God. That's beyond the natural. We can put it in natural words, but it's beyond the natural in its actual experience. So can I just say to you, be very careful in what you listen to. Really, and let the Holy Spirit just quicken something to you. If you're listening to something in Christianity and somebody talking, even me, who's as near to perfect as you are going to... No, I won't go there. Even me. If you feel a check in your spirit, do something about it. Seek God for it. Lord, what's truth here? I don't want to mess you up. I love you too much to do that. I want the best for you. I want you spiritually connected. Please, hear me this morning. Watch what you listen to. Particularly in the realms of the spirit, Christian stuff. There's Christian rubbish out there. Well, I suppose that's a stupid way to express it. There's rubbish out there that relates to Christianity. Don't fall for it. Don't walk in it. Get the truth and live in the truth. Let's talk about building our spiritual life. Let's get on to some positive things. We should build our Christian life. Look, we build our natural life, don't we? We look after our bodies. We clothe ourselves, wash ourselves, feed ourselves, shave ourselves, some of us. You know, there's a process to life. We exercise to keep our bodies fit. And if we don't, we should. And the natural life is an important part of what we are, because we are a spirit. Please, we are a spirit. But it's living in a body. Therefore, I should look after this body. I can't believe people who buy these expensive cars and let them go to rust. Never wash them, never care for them, never check the tyre gauges. And I'm thinking, wow, you spent all that money and look at just going to pieces. Well, let's talk about this. God's given us a body and the Bible said it belongs to him. So you need to look after God's property. Okay? Look after the physical being. Eat well, sleep well, exercise well, all of those things. But realise... there's more. What about some spiritual development? And that's what I want to talk to you about for a few minutes now. Firstly, feed your spirit through faith expression. Remember, words of spirit, death and life comes out of the tongue. Feed your spirit through faith expression in worship. When we come and worship together, wonderful this morning. I had this great sense I was in God's garden. I could smell the fragrance of the garden of God. It's beautiful. See, our spiritual senses can be touched as well. I can taste. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. I can smell the presence of the Lord. I can feel it in my emotions. I just have this wonderful sense of God when we come to worship together. And I want you to come to that too. Feed your spirit through faith in prayer. When you pray, believe that what you're praying for, God is listening to. That it's going into the spiritual realm and something will happen. Because out of the spiritual realm comes the answer to prayer. We pray into the fifth dimension and the answer to our prayer comes from the fifth dimension. So never be discouraged by looking at the natural. Look beyond the natural to the spiritual, because that's where we're connecting with. That's the answer we're seeking, and that's where it's coming from. Then in Bible application, and can I say this morning? Do you know, I was thinking about it today. The Bible is the most important book. I think everybody agrees with that. But I want to say, next to the Bible, you should have a life journal and use it. We have them for sale at our info desk. I think they're about $7. Probably one of the best investments you've ever made. If you've never used a life journal, get one. If you used to use a life journal, get another one and start using it. Why? Because through that, it'll help your spiritual development. It'll help you to hear the Word of God. It'll help you to express the Word of God in life on paper. It's self-explanatory. It talks about the stuff there. They use what's called the SOAP principle: scripture, observation, application, and prayer. Make it a part of your life. Guys, come on. I want to see you spiritually develop. That's my heart. I want to draw you closer to God. I want to draw you into the spiritual world as hard and as best that I can. So understand where I am coming from in that. So that's it. The first thing, feed your spirit. The second is speak in tongues. James 1:20 says that when we speak in tongues, we build ourselves up on our most holy faith. This is a Pentecostal church. We're thankful that all the Baptists feel very comfortable here. But I have to say I'm a little embarrassed because we're Pentecostal. We need to be bringing forth the works of the Spirit. If you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, we'd love to pray with you. And it's not that we discriminate between people of who are Pentecostal or not Pentecostal, because I believe the Spirit of God lives in people who receive Jesus as their Saviour. But there's something more. And we call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's when people are filled with the Holy Ghost in the sense that they speak in other languages. It's something that the Spirit gives us. And you've got to ask, why does He do that? There's a reason. And we're not going into all of that this morning, but I just want to say to you today that speaking in tongues builds your spirit up. It connects you with the spiritual. So speaking in tongues is an important part of our life. I've trying to increasingly do that in my daily life. I do it while I'm driving. When we were first Christians, because we didn't have the mobile phones in the cars. But today you can do anything in a car, sing, talk to yourself. People just think you're on the phone. So you won't feel embarrassed. You can pull up at the lights and chat away all you like in tongues, and the person next to you won't know. They'll just say, he's on the phone. And at least it's not held up to your ears, so you're not doing the wrong thing. You hear what I'm saying to you this morning? Speak in tongues. It's an important part of our Christian life because it builds your spirit. It puts you in connection with God, with the Spirit around about you, okay? And it builds your faith as you do that. It's part of the exercise. The third thing is connect with God. I've connected with God via the Spirit, and I trust you have too. And so I've adopted now, being an extremely patient driver for about 30 seconds, I get to the stoplights and I begin speaking, but I'm not speaking to God. I'm speaking to the traffic lights and complaining that they stopped me. But I decided I'd change that. So what I do now is if I'm pulled up by a red light, I just begin to connect with God. Just begin to say, Lord, you are so special. I love you. And I come to you from my spirit this morning, this afternoon. And I just relate to you because I want to be a person of the Spirit. And so I seek you in this time that I'm here, just these minute or two that I'm at this traffic light. And it's a win-win. No longer am I chomping about being held up. I'm actually in connection with God. Now, I don't want him to give me a red light every time there's one around. I'd rather not have that. I like a few green lights occasionally. But I'm going to take the opportunity, and I'm encouraging you. Perhaps set your watch alarm for every hour. It reminds you, oh, I'm just going to connect with God for a second. I'm just going to take a minute of silence and connect with God. I'm going to just sense His presence. I'm going to sense the spiritual world. See, we have to acknowledge the spiritual world around us. But we live in such an intensely natural world. Look at what we've got around us from where we are and what we feel and the air conditioning we sit in and the big TV sets we watch and all of those kind of things. And that just reinforces a natural world. But there's more. There's a spiritual world that's containing the world we live in. And the portal is Jesus. We move through the portal into the spiritual world. It's so important for our lives. Number four. Well, let me come back to number three. Develop the flow of your connection with God. I remember when I was a young Christian, I had to pick up a guest speaker who'd come to our church in Townsville. And he'd sit in the car and he'd just relate to God. Lord, I love you. You're so special in my life. And he just would do this. And I mean, he could be in a natural conversation, but then, boom, he's in a spiritual conversation with God. Natural conversation with me, spiritual conversation with God. And I thought, whoa, that's an interesting thing to do. Wish I'd done something about it earlier. Number four, think about heaven. Colossians 3 verse 2, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. There's the word from Paul. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Do you ever think about heaven? I don't mean think about it in terms of how beautiful it is and all the wonderful colours and sounds and the presence of God, but just thinking about heaven. Heaven, for us, is the spiritual world around about us. So even the people who don't know Jesus are contained in the heavenly spiritual at this time. If they die without Jesus, they're separated from that into a dreadful place called hell. How terrible. That's why we need to pray for people. I pray for this city. God, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in Mackay. That the people here might know you. That's what we've got to reach out for and believe for. And that's when we speak into the spiritual. I say, Lord, from the spiritual realm, bring the spiritual dimension into this world, into our city, into the lives of people. Get them beyond where they are. Think about heaven. What about our thought processes, our meditations, our reasonings? Are they heavenly or earthly? I pray for heavenly wisdom. God, grant me your grace. Grant me your understanding so that I might move in a spiritual realm. You know, even in the natural, the things I have to do in the natural, I pray for God's spiritual wisdom to move into the natural. Jesus demonstrated time and time again. When they tried to trap him, he said, show me the coin. And he said, whose face is on that? They said, Caesar. So he said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar. Where did he get that from? That wasn't out of the natural world, because they went back. I mean, these were lawyers. These weren't just, you know, people untrained. And they went back and said, no man speaks like this man. In other words, Jesus opened a realm of spiritual wisdom that touched their lives. Okay? Number five, know who you are. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6. Let's put it up there. Ephesians 2 6. We got it? There we go. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. Some people think that's future. He raised us from the dead. We're raised from being spiritually dead to being spiritually alive. So we are now seated with Christ in heavenly places. Seated with Christ. We're not standing there like servants before God. We're seated with Jesus. Where's Jesus seated? At the right hand of God. So we are seated with him at the right hand of God. Do you see the position that that puts us in? Some people look at what we are. And I am not what my name is, or where I live, or what my mobile number is. That's not who I am. Who I am is a person united with Christ and seated with Christ. That's the important thing. Because if you can grab that truth, you know the authority that you have. You know the position you are. Now, the devil is a bluff agent. And so any demonic power will try and bluff you out of knowing who you are. In the book of Acts, it tells a story of the seven sons of Sceva, who were seeking to deliver a man from demons, and began to call the demons out of this man. And this demon said, I know who Jesus is, I know who Paul is, but who are you? And the Bible says that the demon-possessed man set upon them, seven men, seven brothers, tore the clothes off them. They ran out of the house naked and attacked, physically beaten up. Why is that? Because They claimed a relationship they didn't have. Who are you? If demonic powers come against us, and believe me, they do work around about us, but they're crafty. They know if they show themselves to us, they'll reveal to us there's a spiritual world. And they think that our minds are stuck in a natural world, therefore they'll do natural things to us and attack us. Whereas if we could see the spiritual, we could say there's demonic powers. Now, I'm not saying demons are behind every bush. Don't listen to that. Nor everything that happens to you is of a demon. But this is why you need discernment in the spiritual realm, so that you can see what you are dealing with, what's coming against you. And so, who are you? If a demon says that to you, don't say, I go to Mackay Christian Family, we're at a great church, da-da-da-da-da-da. Don't say that. Might be true, but don't say it. What you say is, I am united with Christ. I am seated in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. Who are you, demon, to speak against that? Get out. You hear me this morning? Folks, I believe there's times coming where we're going to see a greater manifestation of the works of darkness. Why? Because the Bible says he knows his time is short. I've spoken about the rapture. I don't think it's far away. I'm not putting time on it. But it could be soon. And I believe there's going to be a great ingathering. But you know, with a great ingathering comes a lot of rubbish. And that means we've got to deal with rubbish. And that's the demons. To break them off people's lives, to see them set free, to see them come out of darkness into light. And that, what happens if you're confronted with that? If your neighbour starts manifesting a demon, what are you going to do? Run inside and lock the door. That's one way. What about if you stood up and you said, I know who I am. I'm going to deal with you, demon. You got me? You understand? Okay, so that let me lead on to number six, because it links with number five. Knowing who you are, knowing where you are and who you are. 2 Corinthians 12:2 says, I was caught up in the third heaven 14 years ago. Whether I was in my body or out of my body, I don't know. This is Paul writing. He was caught up. He didn't know whether he was caught up in the spirit or he's caught up physically. That doesn't matter. But he was caught up to the third heaven. That's where God's heaven is. Understand, while we talk about the spiritual realm and the diagram, there are three heavens. There's a heaven that is God's heaven. There's the second heaven, and that's where the powers of darkness are working. And the first heaven is the natural heaven, the starry heaven. It contains the earth, contains the planets and the stars. So when we fight, listen to me this morning, do not fight in the second heaven. Fight from the third heaven. There's a diagram I want to put up. So there's the spiritual dimension, third heaven, God's throne. We're seated with Jesus. The second heaven, where Satan and demons operate. The natural dimension, first heaven. Universe, stars, planets, earth. Now, there's another diagram. Can we put that up after this one? Where we operate from. The third heaven. That's why we make declarations in prayer. Spiritual words being spoken. We're speaking spirit. Remember that. So speak in faith and speak the truth according to the word of God. From the third heaven, we then drop it into the second heaven. It's like bombs hitting the powers of darkness. We don't take Satan on in the second heaven because that's a fight we probably can't win. We've got to deal from the third heaven. Know who we are, where we are, how we operate. We speak from the third heaven into the second heaven and receive the answer in the first heaven, the natural realm. Does that make sense? If this is confusing to you, why don't you watch it again on YouTube or the Facebook channel that we have, and you can see what I'm trying to say here. We deal with the powers of darkness by who we are and where we declare from. Okay? Now let me just add this proviso. That doesn't mean that you run around trying to deal with powers of darkness just as you see fit. So if you see a demon manifesting in someone, you see it in these kids all the time in the supermarket, they're manifesting demons. But you don't run over and deliver them, okay? Unless you're led by the Spirit of God. You've got to we need to be led by the Spirit. Hear me now. Because if you start trying to take on demonic powers in your own strength without the anointing of the Spirit, you probably might end up in trouble. And I just want to try and balance that there. So the Spirit leads us to deal with issues. We deal with issues. We know who we are. We know where we're dealing from. But we do it by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, not by us doing it. So I don't feel that I have an authority to go to, say, Townsville and start dealing with spiritual darkness there. Why? Because when I was there, I used to, because I was called to be part of the church there, called with an anointing, and knew who I was in God to deal with those things. And so, you know, we worked with our young youth team up there and we dealt with spiritual darkness in their lives. We had a youth camp one time and the manifestation of demons was just, well, for me, overwhelming in people's lives. And so it happens. And I had an authority there. But my authority moved here. And so when I pray for this city, and I pray against the powers of darkness, I believe I'm authorized by God to do this. But I'm not going to go to Townsville or Rockhampton and start dealing with powers here because I don't have the authority unless the Spirit leads me. Does that make sense to you this morning? I want to try and encourage you. You've got authority, you've got position, and you need how to exercise it, but do it with the Holy Ghost. Don't just do it on your own. So here we are seeking to be spiritual people, and I'm praying your spiritual eyes will be opened, that you'll see what the powers of darkness are doing in the lives of people, and you can begin to arise and begin to pray. And the way I pray is, Holy Spirit, help me to understand what's happening here and what you want me to do. And if I feel that drawing of the Spirit to step in and do something, I will. If he puts the pause button on, I wait. And then maybe he wants to do something else. I'm trying to explain something to you this morning, and we're talking about spiritual warfare, and I don't want to just say, go to it. Get out there and deal with all the demons in town. Don't do that. Let the Holy Ghost lead you to deal with what you're supposed to deal with. But folks, I believe we're coming to a time where that's going to become much more obvious. And therefore, I want you to know you are warriors. You are part of God's army. You are anointed to do those things. So we need to take that up. But in the army, we need to obey the leader's orders. And the same thing in the spiritual. We cannot just ride off on a horse and do whatever we want to do. We've got to do it according to what God wants us to do. We right? We good? Because I don't want to have to come pick up the pieces. Because usually people who step out of their dimension, those seven sons of Sceva, of course we never heard of them again. I doubt they ever tried anything again, which is a pity. Because if they'd grown in the Lord, they could have come to a place where they could deal with demonic powers. And that would be a good thing, not a bad thing. Are we right? Good. Now that I've got you all excited or fearful or whatever I've got you, I don't know. But we're going to... I'd like to do the stand again this morning, the declaration we made a couple of weeks back. Because I want to get you into a place of believing that God has authorized you to move in the realms of the Spirit. And so when this morning we do this, I want you to imagine the words I am speaking are spiritual words bringing life, bringing deliverance, bringing hope to people. So let's get the stand up there, please, on the screen, and I'll ask you to stand and we'll say it together. Just take a moment to find it and we'll do it. Take a deep breath so you've got plenty of air in your lungs as we go through this. There are people in our community that need what you've got. And I'm not just talking about salvation. I'm talking about the freedom that God wants to bring them into through you. See, I can't be everywhere. I don't want to be everywhere. That's not my job. We are part of the kingdom of God. And God wants to manifest his kingdom. He wants to manifest it in authority. He wants to manifest it in power. and in life. And so when we find it, we'll get it up there. But I just want to encourage you, be a part of what God's doing, because it's exciting. We're right to go? Okay, we shall start. One, two, three. I declare that Jesus Christ is Lord over all things, natural and spiritual, including all created beings. I stand in the authority he has given to every believer and rise up in the anointing of the Spirit to make the following prayer and pronouncements. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I will not believe the lies that Satan spews forth to make me believe that God does not love me, that I am less or should be ashamed, or that I have no hope. Jesus said that I would have life and life more abundantly. I receive that now and declare over my life God's love and blessing. The word says he will never leave nor forsake me, and I declare his presence is with me every moment of every day of my life. I reject the intrusion of the enemy into my family and say that they will come to know the truth of God's love so that they may experience salvation. As the born-again believer in my home, I declare that the presence of God is there and will bring peace and love into our family. I reject the enemy's attacks of sickness, suffering, and lack, and declare my God is more than enough for every need we have, and that Jesus on the cross paid for all my needs. My home is blessed. I declare that the church universal and the church local is God's intent, with Christ as the head. I will not take offense that may come from other believers, but always extend forgiveness and love so that I might be a vital member of this church by my love, prayer, attendance, giving, and service. I will not separate myself from God's family and risk the satanic strategy to isolate and destroy me. I recognize that God has set authority in my life for the purpose of my protection and provision. I will not live in rebellion, complaining, or criticism, but commit myself to pray for all authority, spiritual or natural, that I might live in peace as God intended. I thank you, Lord, for your word, the Bible, and as the sword of the Spirit, I will the truth it reveals to overcome the enemy's lies. I take the shield of faith to extinguish all the fiery darts, lies of the wicked one. I declare that I will be a thankful person, doing as the word of God says, to be thankful in every situation. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Folks, I found one thing. Once we start standing up in our lives, sometimes things get worse. You might have prayed this over your home, but the blessing has actually gone the other way. Don't give up. Don't give up. Take this prayer on a daily basis and make the stand for your life, for your home, and for our community, that we might see what God wants to do through us in all of this. We have the answer. We are the hope. That's God's intent. Okay? When you go this morning, as we said, we're going to have the New Friends Morning Tea over there. And I just want to say, if you are new in church, please come and join us. We have some people who've, yes, said they'll be there, but there may be others of you here, or here for the first time or whatever. You'd like to come and meet our staff and pastoral team. I invite you to come over and be there. But the rest of you, the morning tea will be out in the foyer. But we're going to give you a little blue page. It's a A4 folded in half that I've written about process and procedure and moving towards destiny. And I would ask this of you, that you would take this form and hang on to it. Don't just read it and toss it. Perhaps keep it in your Bible and take it out, read it semi-regularly, because it's what I absolutely believe. And if you start getting a grip of the truth in there, it's going to affect your life as well. And that's my prayer for you. Okay? How good is God? Listen, anybody need prayer this morning? Can you just pop your hand up for me? Yes. Yes, okay. Well, we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you because we're releasing from the spiritual realm to the natural realm, whether it's healing, whether it's divine intervention or whatever it might be, I'm going to believe for God to move on your life. So those of you who want prayer, would you just maybe put your hands like that in a position to receive? The rest of you also, you can receive as well. I'm going to pray the blessing over you. So Father, I just come before you this morning. And I believe that the words we speak are spirit. And in this case, they are life. And so we speak life into every situation, into every physical need, to every financial need, to every emotional need, to every area that is a weight upon people. I speak the word of release this morning, recognizing, Lord, that we speak from a third heaven through a second heaven into the first heaven. And Lord, the things of darkness which would try and hold back your blessings, I speak against them this morning and release the blessing of God to break through into people's lives, the blessing of healing, the blessing of divine health. I speak especially this morning, Lord, the salvation of families, those who don't know you. I speak them to come to know you because the divine touches upon their life and the darkness which has veiled their eyes is lifted in Jesus' name. Lord, my God, I declare for these people the divine works of God, the divine blessing of God, the divine grace of God. Your hand be upon us, Lord, in a mighty, mighty way. In Jesus' wonderful name, with whom we are united and seated at the right hand of God. Thank you, Father, for this great, great privilege. And we acknowledge today there is a spiritual world around about us. Amen. And amen.